这样子的天气也来参加。And also welcome to everyone on Coastcom who's joining us on live stream. Hello, good morning. And also I'd like to take this opportunity to express my gratitude for everyone here at the Chan Center, monastics as well as the lay practitioners who had worked very hard to maintain this center. And I'm so happy to hear about the news that the new center will be finished. We'll have the grand opening in September next year. So I'm very happy to hear the news. 我也希望用这个机会呢，感恩这里的法师还有义工菩萨们这么多年在这里护持这个道场，让我们有这好的道场可以修行。那也很高兴听到这消息，这是明年九月我们的道场就员工了，就可以开放了，所以非常欢喜。I realized I forgot to look at the Chinese title for today's talk, but I can just make it up. So today's topic is upholding precepts as a Chan practitioner. 那今天的题目是禅修者怎么那个持戒。Upholding precept is an integral part of our practice. You might have heard that precept is one of the three studies. Upholding precept, cultivating concentration, and also realizing wisdom. They are the, they are three aspects of the entirety of our practice.And if our practice is missing one of any of these three elements, that will be a defective practice. 那个持戒呢，是我们修行里面一个非常主要的元素。大家可能有听过那个佛法里面有三学，那三学就是戒、定、慧，就是我们的修行里面需要学习持戒、修定，跟是还有修慧。那就表示呢，我们的修行里面这三个元素呢，缺一不可。少了一个，就是我们的修行呢，就是出了问题就有问题了。I want to start with this to emphasize the point that upholding precept is really not optional. If we actually want to engage in the practice of Chan, we have to learn about a precept and learn about how to uphold a precept and actually commit to the upholding of precepts in our practice. 我希望提这一点呢，就是来指出呢，那个持戒呢不是一个选择性的。不是说我想我因为我修行，可是我只是修其他的，可是我不持戒这个是不可以的。意思是说，如果我们真是认真就修行佛法的话，是一定要持戒的。 Put in the other way, upholding precept really is the actualization of Chan practiceIn our life lived in relationship. What I mean is that many people think about Chan practice as the cultivation of the mind, like done in maybe chanting practices or sitting meditation, and had trouble and find that applying Chan practice in our daily life as something very abstract. How do I apply any of this? And it is.That's exactly what happens is when we uphold a precept. It is when we apply our Chan practice in our daily life lived in relationship. 从另外一个 角度来看呢，我们可以说持戒其实就是实践禅修，在我们生活里面实践禅修的一个方式。很多菩萨觉得那个禅修就是修心嘛，那个打坐啊，或者是念佛啊，修那个安定那个心。那然后听到那个禅是应该应用在生活里面的，就会觉得好像好难捉摸，我怎么去应用禅修在那个生活里面啊？其实持戒就是应用禅。在我们的生活里面，我们的生活是跟其他人互动的，我们家庭啊、工作啊、朋友之间的互动，就是其实在我们跟人与人之间的互动，就是禅修的实践，其实在那个过程里面就是在持戒。 So I hope this helps us understand whyUpholding precept is an integral part of our practice. In a way, it's inseparable. If we're not upholding precept, we're actually not practicing charm. 就可以意思是说，其实持戒跟禅修是不可分割的。持戒就是在禅修。It is quite important to understand the central spirit of upholding precepts, because many people are quite intimidated by the idea of upholding precepts. How do I make sure I get it right? What if I get it wrong and I break the precepts? Then people are afraid of taking precepts because of that. Now,其实蛮重要，就是要了解那个持戒这个中心的思想，就重点是在哪里。因为很多菩萨呢就会觉得那个持戒啊，那个有点怕，说万一我那个对那个戒不了解，那破戒了那怎么办，那我很害怕啊，所以就对持戒有点害怕。其实呢，如果我们抓到那个持戒的重点呢，其实是蛮简单的。The central idea of upholding precept really is about purifying our body and mind, our speech, to help us to support us in our cultivation of wholesome speech and action.Wholesome speech, right action that you have heard about in the Eightfold Noble Path. What is right? Right refers to actions and speech and thoughts that are in accordance with compassion and wisdom. Because some people feel that the word right, may...imply some kind of judgment based on certain cultural positions. That's not what that means. Right refers to regardless of the cultural environment, the time historical period we are in, the norms that are upheld by people in different historical time and location might vary. But what is right is that which is in accordance withwisdom and compassion, regardless of the situation. 那个持戒的中心思想，那个重点呢，就是来净化我们的身心，让我们呢可以学习怎么修行那个正行、正语、正念。我们的思想的念头，我们讲的话，我们身体做出来的行为，就是呢在我们奔八正道里面所说的正语、正念、正行。那什么是正呢？ 正的意思就是跟慈悲跟智慧相应，就是所谓正。因为这个正这个字哈，很有一些菩萨就觉得蛮好像很难琢磨，正是不是就是我们说的对的意思。那如果我们思考一下，我不同的社会不同的文化环境里面不同的行为，我们觉得是在这里觉得对，在那边觉得不对的，或是不同的历史的时候气候里面可能就会有不同的规范，都会让我们都会改变的，随着我们的社会的变迁。这个真不是不是说那个，因为就变成好像都是可以都可能会矛盾的正与正行，这里这意思是说跟慈悲跟智慧相应的。所以无论我们在什么的社会文化环境里面，在那个当下，在那个情况里面，我们所做所讲的所想的是不是跟慈悲跟智慧相应，就是讲正语正行正念，就是我们持戒的中心。 It's quite important to remind ourselves the importance of a precept, and many of you might have heard of the story that when Shakyamuni Buddha was about to enter Parinirvana, his disciples were very upset and also very worried. What am I going to do? They asked the Buddha, when you are gone, who will be our teacher? And the Buddha told his disciples, the precepts will be your teacher. It's worthwhile to keep this in mind to remind ourselves the centrality of precepts in our Buddhist practice and study. 那我们其实呢我觉得蛮需要那个记得哈，这个戒律其实在我们修行里面的有多重要。那个当释迦牟尼佛快要涅槃的时候，他的弟子就很担心啊，很相信也很担心，就是说那佛陀，那你离开我们之后我们怎么办啊，我们都没有老师了，我们应该怎么办？那佛陀就跟他的弟子说，以戒为师，以戒为师，我们记得这个就可以记得戒律对我们的佛法的学习跟修行有多重要，不是说不是一些随便可以不管的事情。It is also important to remember that the precepts, Buddhist precepts, are not like what we're familiar with in terms of the commandments. Many of us are familiar with when we think about ethical rules, we think about the commandment, thou shalt not do this, do that, and they were made to they were there to set as rigid rules to restrict our behavior, and it's there to, and it's there for us to be judged and judge others. That is not what Buddhist precepts are about. And rather, they are really ethical guidelines to support our practice. They're there to help us with our practice in our cultivation of wisdom and compassion. So what that means is that when we uphold a precept, we are really allowing this set of wonderful guidelines to help us, to support us in our practice. And as you know, practice is quite challenging at times, and so we can use all the support we can get. And upholding precept really is to give ourselves additional support. 我们也需要呢，记得，戒律有些时候有些菩萨呢会，但因为通常我们想到戒律，可能会想到戒律就好像一些，教律啊，有些尤其是在我们社会里面，会可能想到那个，天主教那个十戒啊，因为同一个字嘛，中文就是你不可以这样子，不可以那样子。啊，如果你这样子，你就会受到惩罚了，啊，就这样子，会有这样子的心态，觉得这些戒律呢是在自来那个规限我们的行为的，让我们不自由。有些菩萨有这样想法，其实呢，有可能也会想到，以为这些戒律是用来那个批评我们自己，批评其他人的，这个是错误的想法。佛法里面的戒律呢，不是这样用这样子来用的。佛法里面的戒律呢，是其实是帮助我们修行的一个很重要的工具。其实这些是一些那个指导给我们呢。指导我们，帮助我们呢，怎么过一个跟伦理相应的生活的一个帮助。那如果我们从这个角度来看的时候呢，持戒呢就变成是我们愿意，我们接受这些戒律给我们的帮助。帮助我们修行，修行那个慈悲心跟智慧。那大家可能也知道，修行其实不是有些时候不是很容易的。所以我们可以在什么地方可以拿到得到什么帮助，我们都应该很欢喜去接受。所以我们可以用这种心态呢来去对待那个戒律，这个持戒的，其实就是让我们很欢喜的去接受戒律给我们的修行法上面的一个帮助。And indeed, when we remember to practice, when our mind is settled.Is not all distracted all over the place or agitated. We actually remember to come back to the present moment in practice. We are less likely to break the precept. We are less likely because we're more likely to remember these precepts. And very often we break the precept because we forget about them. And when we break the precept,The moment we realize that we have broken the precept, we'll realize that it often has to do with the fact that in the moment we have forgotten our practice, which often is manifested in the form of very agitated mind, vexed mind, mind that has given rise to vexations. And when we are vexed and suffering, we have a great tendency toact in a way that causes harm to others, which often manifests in the breaking of precept. Now, 实际上呢，在我们当我们呢，记得修行，就是记得保持我们心的安定跟宁静的时候，我们的心是清清楚楚的时候。我们比较不会迫切的，因为当我们心很安定很宁静的时候，我们自然就会记得这些我们的所接受的戒律。 那就不会这么容易会破戒。因为很多时候我们破戒是因为忘记了，你心很心很散，你心不清楚，就完全好像忘记了那个修行。所以呢就会犯这个错误。还有呢，当我们那个心不安定，那个心就是很烦躁，在生很多烦恼的时候，我们心生烦恼的时候，自然我们是很痛苦的。当我们很痛苦的时候，就自然而然很容易会做一些让伤害其他人的事情。当我们做伤害其他人的事情的时候呢，我们是在犯戒了。那有些人呢，可能So, some people might, especially, Chan practitioner who, thank you. I cannot talk when I touch you. Thank you. So what that means is that when our mind, when we use Chan practice to settle down our mind,So that we can see the subtle movements of our mind that we are about to give rise to thoughts of vexations that can in turn manifest into actions and words we say. With the support of the precept,It will help remind us that perhaps I should not continue to give rise to these thoughts, which then will in turn manifest into words that we say or actions. And so you can see how stabilizing the mind and cultivating clear awareness.Is essential, or actually really is the same thing as upholding the precept. 当我们的心，当我们用禅修的方法来安定我们的心的时候，我们对我们的起心动念很清楚的时候，我们就可以呢看到我们升起什么念头，升起一些烦恼，跟烦恼心相应的念头，嗔恨心啊，或者是妒忌的心啊，希望想要伤害其他人的心。我们知道这些念头，如果一直让它升起的时候，就会变成我们讲出来的语言。或是身体做的行为，所以当我们应用禅修的时候，当我们的很清楚我们的起心动念的话，同时间就让戒律来帮助我们的话，这个戒律记得这个戒律，就会让我们记得。这些念头 我应该不要再让他生气了，因为再让他生气的时候，我就会讲出或是做出犯戒的事情了。所以为什么我说禅修其实就是持戒？当我们忘记修行，我们就很容易犯戒。So I've been talking about upholding precept in general, so I like to spend the rest of the talk going over the 5 lay precepts to go over some of the specifics on how we can go about upholding precept as a Chan practitioner. 那我在一直讲那个修持戒哈，那个比较笼统的方式来讲，那我呢希望现在就是解释一下这个五戒，那个在家人所持的五戒，这是怎么样呢？从一个禅修者的方式来修行五戒，然后也让我们对这些戒律的精神有一些了解。So I was also hoping to help us understand what I was talking about in terms of the spirit of upholding precepts. The 5 precepts, so many of you are familiar with that. That the 5 precepts are not killing, not stealing, not engaging in sexual misconduct, and not lying, not taking alcohol or any intoxicants. <笑>那个五戒呢，大家可能已经蛮熟悉了，就五戒就是不杀生，不偷盗，不邪淫，不妄语，然后不饮酒、嗯、Earlier I mentioned that these precepts are not rigid rules. What I meant is that we can take these precepts. There are the basic element of these precepts that we have to abide to, and it is pretty standard. But we can work with our causes and conditions, or where we are in our practice, to take each of these precepts to their different scope or depth. 那刚才我有讲到呢，这些戒律啊，不是什么，不是一个很非常的不是一些完全没有弹性的一些戒条哈，不是很僵化的戒条。我的意思是说呢，这些戒律呢，除了那个很基本的元素之外呢，我们是可以根据我们自己的现在的因缘，我们的修行的程度呢，来进一步的扩大我们每一条戒律对我们我们可以持的方式有多广有多深，我们都可以自己调整。So the basic precept of not killing is to not kill people. Now that is pretty basic. So like if you kill people, you end up in jail anyway. And we're talking about the practice and the most basic thing to be a decent human being is not kill others and also really not to inflict physical harm on others. 那第一个不杀生这个戒律哈，最基本的元素就是不要杀人。那这个是最基本的啦。就我们是做人，当然就是不要去杀人啦。不杀人就我们就这个是非常是最严重的。最严重的这个第二条戒律，那我们这里说我们是学佛修行佛法，我最少会做一个好人呢、啊， 好人就是最少就是不要杀人，不要这个去那个用武力去去身体伤害其他人的身体。And if you think about this, I'm going to use this as an example of how a precept can serve as a helpful guideline to support our practice, especially when we are really having trouble in our practice, when we are completely overwhelmed by our habitual tendencies of being vexed. So if we have taken the precept, some of you might have like that experience. Someone has done something that made you really, really angry. That you want to you think about it, you're so angry and you're so upset that you want to go kill them. And you were so angry, you were all by yourself, you were thinking about how you're going to kill this person. And you kept thinking about killing this person, and you're actually going to grab a weapon in your house. And you are continuing to give rise to this angry thought of killing this person. You grab your weapon, you're walking over, and maybe it was your neighbor who was really upset, and you're about to take your weapon to go kill your neighbor. On and on and on and on. And we're beside ourselves. No control over our mind. And maybe one of these moments in the process, we're like, I have taken the precept of no killing. Oh, maybe I should not be doing this. So this is a moment that we can see how the precept can be used to remind us that what we are giving rise in our mind and in our action, and about to commit in our action, maybe that's not something we want to do. And so this is how having the precept, holding them in our mind, supports our practice, remind us to come back to our practice, that moment when we realize, oh, I'm not supposed to kill, I'm not supposed to inflict physical harm on other people. What am I doing? We come back and realize that we have completely lost our practice in those previous moments, but we can come back. 那我希望用这个不杀生的这个戒律来解释一下那个戒律怎么样去作为可以来帮助我们的修行啊。大家可能也有见过或是自己有经验过呢，就是有的时候有事情发生非常愤怒，就是生气的不得了，不知道大家的脾气有多大哈，有些人呢脾气很大，可能其他人不知道哈，可是心里面那个非常的生气，或许是邻居做了一些事情好让你很生气，那你自己在这个人在生气生气生气，那个一直来生气，不止在生气的时候，我这么生气就是我想把他杀掉啊，我就因为他就做了这个这么这样的事情，那心里面一直在那个升起这些要杀掉这个邻居的念头，然后呢那我们这个念头在一些升起的时候，我们把在家里找一些武器拿起来要去杀掉他了，然后呢这身体都已经拿着这个武器要过去要杀掉这个邻居了，这个可能是蛮久的时间哈，不知对吧，那这个过程里面呢，我可以很明显完全忘记我们的修行了，那个心完全忘记我们修行，可是在这个过程里面我们可能就会记得，我们如果有戒律的时候，我们就记得啊，我是修了，我是接受了不杀生这个戒的，就表示我不应该杀生，我不应该去杀人，我不应该去伤害这个人。在那个当下，其实就是提醒我们回来我们的修行之前，我完全忘记了我们的修行，让我们让一些 那个烦恼非常重的烦恼完全占据我们的心，你心完全没有一点的清明在里面。所以呢，这个时候，如果我们让我们的戒律来支持我们、帮助我们的时候，常常把这些戒律放在我们的心里，在这些时候，当我们心里面很烦躁、很烦恼，快有其实就已经升起很多杀生的念头了。那个没有做出来的时候，我们最少可以记得不要做，做了之后就很后悔嘛。所以这样子，戒律就是我们的好朋友，来提醒我们要回到我们的修行。And you can see how how upholding the precept of not killing is in accordance with wisdom and compassion. Not killing others, not causing physical harm to others, is out of compassion for others. Is to so that we are they can be safe, and it is also in accordance with wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is not giving rise to suffering to ourselves. As you can see, if we go ahead and kill someone, how are we going to feel at peace? We are going to be worried about getting caught, or even not worried about getting caught, we will feel very guilty and regretful, and all that will be suffering. So just refraining from causing physical harm and killing others is in accordance to wisdom. 那大家可以看到呢，这个持这个不杀生戒是不是跟慈悲跟智慧是相应的？那个不杀其他的众生，不要去伤害其他人的身体，这个就是那个让其他众生是觉得安全，就是慈悲。那还有大家也不差也可以看到，那如果我们杀生了、杀人了，那个心里面是没有办法会觉得安宁的，就会心里面很内疚。就算没有给人家发现，都会觉得没有办法晚上睡得好的，去伤害其他人，所以心里面呢会很内疚、很痛苦。这个就是就不是跟智慧相应，因为智慧就是不给自己升起那个痛苦。So of course many of these precepts are sort of phrased in this term of not doing something, and it's important to remember it at the same time encompasses the other side of a precept, which is what to do. We don't kill, but also we protect life, support. Maybe we give support to someone in danger, or we help support the preservation of wildlife, in whatever form that we we feel called to do. 那这些戒律很多时候就是说不要做什么，不要做什么，就很多时候就会忘记了。其实呢，除了不要伤害其他人，不要杀生是另外一方面正面的讲法，就是怎么去护身，也是这个戒律的一部分，就是去保护或去保护身处危险的人啦，或是保护这些平民那个危险的那个动物啊，这些都是看我们的情况可以做的来持这个戒的。So whenever I actually just encountered this question when I was teaching a meditation workshop at Yale a few days ago. A common question about this precept is, do I have to be a vegetarian to uphold this precept? And the answer is no. Like, you don't have to be a vegetarian. That's not part of the you're not eating people, right? So you're not killing people. And really, that's what I meant by the scope of the precept of being the part that practitioners need to think about, to so that they can work with their own causes and conditions. Many people became vegetarian or reduce the consumption of meat so that they can refrain from eating meat, because when we eat meat, that really is causing animals to be killed to become our food. And the reason behind doing that is out of compassion. So that is a way, a form of upholding this precept. And as we practice more, one might realize that as we cultivate this clear awareness and we're eating the hamburgers, like, we realize, what's this thing that I'm eating? Oh, I'm actually eating flesh that came from killing animal. That's from our clear awareness of what's going on, what's in front of us in this present moment. And then that might get us to see that, do I want to keep doing more of this? It is up to you. It's your contemplation. So that's what I meant by we have to work with our current causes and conditions. And it is not some rigid rule that we set in for ourselves. So 这个不杀生这个戒律啊，常常我又听了有收到一些菩萨的问题。前几天我去雅鲁大学教禅修的时候，就有一个学生在问这个问题，他说我是不是一定要那个吃素啊？哈、啊。那个他在吃那个吃鸡，那个我们在吃晚餐，他叫了一盘那个鸡肉，他就说，哎呀，不好意思，我还是吃肉的。那我那这个问题啊，是蛮多人会问的。那个其实我记得啊，这个戒律，基本的戒律就是不要杀人嘛。那可是很多菩萨呢，当他们修行了一段时间，修行就是我们常修的时候，就是每一个当下，这是清清楚楚的在知道面前在发生什么事情。那或是就是吃个汉堡哈。禅修了哈，吃汉堡就看到，哎，这个汉堡我在吃的是什么东西？这个东西呢，我们以前是觉得这是好吃的食物啊，好吃好吃。然后我发现，可是这块是肉哎，这个肉是从哪里来的？是从那个动物杀掉个动物来的。这是慢慢的心里面就会发现，我以前觉得好吃好吃的东西，其实的因缘是从杀掉其他动物来的。从这个心念比较清明的时候，就发现有这样子的体验，可能就会觉得我还是要继续常常整天吃掉这些要杀掉动物的得到的食物吗？这个可以自己问自己，没有人。告诉你应该怎么做的，自己去体验，去尝。So what I mean is that it's no one else's business to tell you what to do. You can think, you ask yourself as you face the fact that this is what you're eating, what would I like to do? What would I like to do? And we can see that for some people, the practice of this broadening the scope of this precept to include not killing animal for food that they consume as meat out of compassion is also is what led some Buddhists to be vegetarian. And it's also a practice of renunciation. And now, when we think about this, then that's why we need to understand how we need to work with our own causes and conditions, where we are in our practice. If we're not ready, we are going to go about it with a lot of resentment. We feel like I'm sacrificing something I don't want to sacrifice, and we can attach a negative association with the practice and feel like the precept is here to keep us from doing what I want to do. And then it will actually inhibit our ability to engage in the practice. So if that's not what you're ready to do, don't do what it is that you're not ready, because that might be counterproductive. 那刚才又讲到有一些菩萨，他们把这个不杀生这个戒律啊，就是那个定义把它放广，不只是不杀人，不说哦，其实如果我吃肉是也是杀掉其他的动物，那我就不要，就因为这样子有一些菩萨就是吃素的，那是因为他们希望这样子，因为慈悲的来修行慈悲的方式，那个所以就吃素了。那不，大家可能也看到呢，这是其实也是一个就是what is the Chinese? What's the name Chinese for renunciation? Renunciation, what's it in Chinese? sorry to do that. I cannot think straight today. To give up something, give up meat, give up. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so, 对不起，我今天的中文忘记了大部分，我的中文非常差的。好，这个就是因为希望来修行啊，而来放弃，可能之前很喜欢吃肉的，觉得这个东西很好吃，我就把它放弃掉了，就是放舍，那个就那个。这个修行，这个修行啊，这个舍掉一些自己很心爱的东西啊，是一个要我们需要很清楚自己现在的情况，现在是自己心的状况，自己修行的程度。我意思是说，有些菩萨他们不就是我还是很喜欢吃汉堡，好，我如果我硬要这样要我自己不吃，我就觉得很痛苦，我就觉得这个戒律就是这么坏东西，而不让我做我喜欢做的东西，这会让我们心里面觉得修行都是不好的，就是让我不自由的事情，这样子我们慢慢就会觉得修行是不是对我一些什么好的事情，我慢慢就不修行了。所以这样子，当我们还是不是到那个程度，到那个时候那个因缘还不到的时候，我们就硬要我们怎么样去做，其实可能对我们的修行是一种障碍。 作为意思是说我们呢怎么样去把我们的戒律把它的定义比较广一点，是要因我们自己现在的情况来做的，那不应该是硬要去做。In the way to see this is that if we I want to bring this up because it is not uncommon that people do this, to use this very harsh attitude. It's like, okay, I hear this, I'm just going to, like, even though I really like this and I'm not ready, I'm just going to make myself do this. It's kind of like, in a way, in a very punishing way. And it's a form of harshness, a form of violence towards ourselves. And even though we're thinking, so if we think about it, is it in accordance with wisdom and compassion? When we are forcing ourselves to do this, but we are doing it and we are experiencing a lot of resentment. We are being very harsh to ourselves. That is not in accordance with compassion and wisdom. We might think that we are really trying to speed up my progress in the practice, but actually it is a form of ignorance. What 讲这一点是因为呢蛮多菩萨呢有这样子的倾向的哈，就是说听到是啦，我是应该这个如果持戒的我就应该吃素，虽然我非常不愿意我还是要做，我是要逼我自己做逼我自己做的意思是说做的时候呢很不愿意，心里面非常的痛苦的好，还有呢那个态度呢就是很硬的，好像就是在逼炸这样子。刚才我们讲过了，持戒就是呢戒的中心思想就是要跟慈悲跟智慧相应的。那如果大家想想看，如果我们还因缘还是不具足，时间还不到，我们是硬要逼自己做自己还是没有办法做的事情，就是慈悲跟智慧相应吗？因为每一次我们逼我们自己，我们就是很痛苦，我们就给自己身体很多烦恼，很多痛苦，这个就不是智慧了，也不是对自己也不慈悲。我们呢还以为自己说我这样子逼我自己呢是让我的那个修行进步的快一点其实这愚痴，因为在一直对自己这样子的这样子做法是不慈悲不智跟智慧不相应的做法，其实就是对我们修行是一种障碍还有呢我们一些这些菩萨我刚才讲I was talking about some of these practitioners could become gave up meat because they see that there's no need for them to consume meat that involves killing animals. So for them it feels natural to eat meat, because like I can eat and I have a nutritious diet and I'm fine, I'm healthy, I don't need this. It's natural for them. It's no problem. And with that attitude, then what it is, there's no need to hate meat. I've encountered some people like, I hate meat. And then actually I just went out to dinner with friends recently and they asked me like, would that be okay if we order meat? That's what you eat, no problem. Because they worry that sometimes when we become vegetarian, we think, meat is an evil thing. No, that's not an evil thing. It's just that's our practice. Or we may and also need to watch for like thinking that people who eat meat, they're bad people. Like suddenly, because we think I'm being good by giving them meat, that means Those who don't, they are bad people who despise them. Is that in accordance with compassion and wisdom? We're giving rise to these thoughts of vexations, to judging other people, to giving rise to these hateful thoughts about other people. When we think we are broadening our the scope of this precept in our practice. But when we go about it in this vexed way, we're actually creating more vexations. And some people may do this. Again, we can do it in using any of these precepts, telling people that, well, I am taking this precept and I'm not eating meat, and then make everyone's life miserable. Like, they cannot eat meat in front of you. No one in your family can eat meat, and so on and so forth, and making it very difficult for everyone else. And that is, first of all, not compassionate. And it can create a lot of resentment towards your practice, towards the Dharma. We're going to be creating obstruction for other people in connecting with the practice. And also, we may cause problems for ourselves when they think that we are such troublemakers. It always helped me a great deal when I thought about Master Shen Yan, when he was in the early years when I started practicing with Master Shen Yan. Okay, that he talked about when he was in the army, he maintained his precept of refraining from eating meat, but he had to eat with other people who are not vegetarians. And so he would just eat around the meat that they have, rather than insisting that everyone cook something purely vegetarian for him. So I always keep that in mind, that like we are keeping the precept, but we don't make it become something that is very difficult and for other people around them. So it's not about me. It's not about me. 我们还有呢要小心呢，当我们如果希望这样子比较把我们的这个修行这个戒律哦，这个其实其他的戒律也是一样哈。其实这个不杀生戒，我们把它的定义推广一点，我说我不杀，我不要吃肉的时候，我们记得呢这个原因是。 因为我们就发现，其实我不要吃肉也可以，健康也可以有足够的食物吃，所以就觉得没有需要嘛，没有必要嘛，这个是很自然的一个事情，所以呢，就不吃肉了，好，这个心态呢，就是跟慈悲跟智慧是相应的。 而不是呢说，因为我不吃肉，所以肉就是不好的东西，或是呢看到其他人吃肉，他们是坏人，因为我突然是好人了，因为我不吃肉了，他们就坏人了，吃肉就是坏人。这样子，当如果这样子以为自己在认真的实践，然后升起这样子的态度。 这样子就是不是跟慈悲跟智慧相应了，是吗？那想想看，我看到其他人吃肉，就觉得这升起嗔恨心，觉得他是坏人，我就不喜欢他，升起这个嗔恨心，就不是跟智慧相应，我们去找其他人麻烦，不跟不是慈悲心，然后呢，也是呢，虽然我们持这个戒，也不要呢，把找其他人麻烦，就是不要把我是因为我吃素，所以呢，其他全部人都一定要怎么吃素啊，一定不可以有肉在我的范围里面啊，什么，我最近跟那个朋友吃饭。快吃去餐馆吃饭，他就问我， 我点一些牛肉可以吗？我说没有问题啊，这个你吃我不吃你吃没有问题。那个就是呢，我们我记得是很久以前你听到师父讲说他在他在军中的时间之后呢，虽然他自己还是还是吃这个不杀生戒，不吃肉的，吃素的。然后呢，可是呢，因为其他人不是吃素的，那怎么办？那不可以说你们全部都有吃素，他也不可以，因为是在军队里面。他说到就吃肉边菜，其他人吃肉，我吃那个菜没有问题。就是不要把那个，因为我吃素，我持戒，就变成。全部人都是要把他们的全部的生活都改变了，来迁就我自己。这样子做是不慈悲，因为让他们觉得，哎，你这麻烦呢，你学佛那个是不是？我们这么早这麻烦，他们就觉得学佛就想到学佛是就是没有身体不好的影响，是吗？然后当他们不高兴，可能也对我们的印象有问题，也是一个也是会那个跟智慧不相应。所以呢我们记得其实在这个持戒怎么样去持，怎么跟我们现在的情况，然后怎么去处理，都是修行的一部分。So we can see thatWhen we think about how to determine the appropriate scope of the precept for us, it involves seeing clearly our current causes and conditions, and also how to handle the situation with wisdom and compassion. So, like I mentioned, it's important to watch out for self-righteousness when we areupholding the precepts. Watch out for this thought arising in our mind, thinking that I'm such a superior person, I hold these precepts. And then we go ahead and use these to judge other people. Judge other people that they are not upholding the precept. The precept is for supporting our own practice. We look afterour own precepts. It's very important to remember that. And when we use the precept to judge other people, that in itself is not in accordance with wisdom and compassion. 那我们呢需要的很小心呢，要记得我们不要那个持戒，尤其是呢比较认真的去持一个戒，就心里面就觉得自己很了不起了，比其他人高一等了，我是一个比你更好的修行者嘛啊。然后呢，或是呢用这个戒律来批评其他人，就说哎。你因为要吃这个戒他的事情，戒我们要记得，这个戒律是用来帮助我们自己修行的，我们照顾我们自己的戒律。当我们呢用戒律来批评其他人，这个。心里面就是在生烦恼了，就已经是不是跟智慧相应，也是不慈悲。So when we are using precept to judge other people, we are already causing vexations in our mind, and that in the moment is already not in accordance with wisdom and compassion. So the precept of not stealing is the basic precept is not taking what does not belong to us. 那这个不偷盗哈，这个戒呢，就是最基本的意思，就是不要，就是不要拿不是自己的东西。And this precept is there to protect us from giving rise to greed, from giving rise to the vexation of greed and craving. So what it is that in our life we get tempted to take what's not ours or to take more than our share of something, right? So it can be you're at a birthday party. You want to take a larger slice of this very yummy cake that you want. Whatever it is that like that is giving rise to greed. And when we in that moment we remember this precept of not stealing. It's like, oh yeah, like, you know, I don't take that which is not mine, not take that from others. And of course it is uphold this precept is out of compassion for others, because when other people lose their share that's rightfully theirs, it hurt them in a very concrete way, or of course psychologically. And also when we have taken that which is not rightfully ours, even if we are not caught, we are always anxious, will someone find out? And we are enjoying things that we kind of in our heart, we know that I didn't really earn, that I really took it from someone else. We never felt really at ease with what we accomplish. And so that's suffering. So when we refrain from stealing, it really is to free us from giving rise to suffering. 这个不偷盗这个戒是保护我们，保护我们不要升起更多的贪欲。在我们的生活里面常常都会有碰到一些情况，就是贪念升起了，就是很喜欢的东西希望拿多一些啊。有些时候我们去吃生日会看到这个蛋糕好好吃啊，就是想拿大一块的大一点一块的啊，可能其他人就不够吃了。所以呢，当我们有记得这个不偷盗这个戒律，是不是能想到不要做这个事情啊？这个就让我们呢不要继续升起这个贪欲的心。这个当然，我们不去拿掉，应该是属于其他人的东西，就是慈悲了，因为失去。给人家拿掉，应该是自己的东西，是很痛苦。我们不去做就是慈悲。还有当我们拿到属于其他人的东西，就算没有给人家发现，心里面都会很不安的，整天担心是不是有人会发现我在拿到其他的东西。或是呢，当我们呢再继续用那个东西在发展我们的生活的里面，我们就发现其实这个就是因为我偷回来的东西，我拿其他不应该是属于我的东西来发展出来的财富或是名声，所以自己永远都不会觉得自己做的事情是让自己快乐安心安的。所以不偷盗，持这个不偷盗的戒就是让我们不要痛苦，就是一个跟智慧相应。And also, of course, we practice the positive side of it is to, not only do we not take from others, you practice generosity. And we give and share with others what is appropriate, meaning what the other people need and what it is that we have and are able to give. 那当然呢，不只是不偷盗了，我们呢也是呢要记得呢，就是修行给分享自己这个有的财富啊或者时间给其他人，那这个在这个修行呢，也是要知道呢自己要的中心思想就是让要分享其他人有需要的。而我们有能力有办法可以分享的我们就尽力去做。And the precept of refraining from sexual misconduct, the central idea of this is not to hurt our sexual partner, not to cheat on our partner because it causes harm to them, it's not compassionate. And when we engage in non-consensual sex, that is also hurtful to the other people, not in accordance with compassion. That's why we refrain from sexual misconduct. And so this is a precept that where we have to remember that these precepts are not dogmas, like that is the case maybe in some other religious traditions. It is important for us to remember the spirit of the practice of the precept is to act in a way that is in accordance with wisdom and compassion. 这个不邪淫这个戒律呢，那个重点就是不要伤害自己的性伴侣哈，就是一方面就是不要撒谎啊，不要来有如果是结婚呢，对，就是有婚爱情嘛，那因为这样子就是不慈悲，就是伤害自己的伴侣啊，另外就是不要进行那个要如果对方是不愿意的话，这个性行为呢是我们也不要去做的，因为强逼其他人进行性行为也是伤害其他人的，也是不慈悲的。这个戒律啊，是很重要的，要记得。戒律啊，不是那个很教条型的啊，有一些其他的宗教传统呢，那戒律是很教条型的，一定要怎么样，不可以不可以啊。我们要记得呢，我们持戒的精神就是要跟慈悲跟智慧相应。所以就是要看那个特定的情况去确定。So what it means is that when we engage in charm practice, we are able to be cultivate this clear awareness of all the nuances of the current situation and think and discern clearly whether what we are doing is in accordance with wisdom and compassion, or are we doing it to perpetuate our vexations, causing suffering for ourselves and others. For some people, this is not satisfactory. It's like, just tell me what I should not do. when you see yourself asking that question, what you are doing is, I don't want to have to be aware. I don't want to have to discern what is going on in that particular situation. What you are essentially saying is that I don't want to have to practice.这个修行禅修的时候，我们就是当我们安定我们心，那个让我们的心很宁静的时候，就是让我们可以呢很清清楚楚的关照现在当下这个情况是怎么样。然后在我做这个事情的时候，是跟慈悲跟智慧相应的吗？还是呢，我现在的做是在是放逸放纵我自己，是要like继续让我升起这个烦恼心？有些菩萨呢听到这样子说，哇，这个好像好麻烦，你就告诉我我什么不可以做就好了哈，我不要那个。当我们有这样子的想法说，啊，这个要关照，又要那个让我们的心宁静，来是清清楚楚知道现在情况怎么样，怎么样做才是跟那个慈悲智慧相应。我们说不要这么麻烦了，告诉我什么不可以做。这样子的想法就是说，我不想修行，我不想要修炼我这个清明的心，让我可以在每一个情况的时候可以看到什么是跟慈悲跟智慧相应的。所以呢当我们有这样子的习性的时候，我们因为我们自己说是不是这样子，是不是我是其实不想修行，我觉得很麻烦修行，就让其他人告诉我怎么做就好了。So the precept of not lying is really about not telling lies to hurt others in order to benefit ourselves. And very often they are motivated by self-serving thought. So here we're talking about saying things that are motivated by self-serving thoughts. Maybe like exaggerating our contribution in something to make us look better, or maybe to discredit someone else. So that are not true, right? And you can see how this is not compassionate. It's hurtful to others by presenting a distorted view of what's going on. And you can see that when we tell lies, definitely difficult to have a stable mind. We worry when we tell lies, we have to tell more and more lies to cover up our original lies. And after a while, we couldn't even remember what was the original lie we were trying to cover up. And it's an incredibly terrible situation. The mind is incredibly agitated. It's a lot of suffering. It's definitely not in accordance with wisdom. 那当然这个不妄语这个戒哈，就是说当我们呢讲一些撒谎啊，讲一些谎语呢，来尤其是来利益自己啊，尤其是呢通常就是呢因为我们呢希望讲一些话呢来可以呢对我们有益的啊，有好处的哈，有的是可能是夸张了自己做了一些什么事情，没有做说自己有做啊，或是做一点点说自己做了很多，或是贬低其他人做了什么的事情，这个都是呢 没有如实的讲出一些事情，这个是不慈悲了，因为就是伤害其他人。还有呢，就是当我们撒谎呢，我记得撒了一个谎，我们就很我要在撒谎来让其他人不知道我原来讲的那个是谎言，那讲了这么撒谎一直撒，那个都是很痛苦的，因为都是那个心是没有办法安定的，所以就是跟智慧不相应的。If we reflect in our practice as a Chan practitioner, we might notice that we have a habit of denial, not acknowledging that we are thinking about something in a certain way, engaging in denial that we feel a certain way. Some of you might have experienced that you are really mad at something. It's like, no, I'm not. I'm really okay with this. We are in denial of our feelings or our true feeling about something. And we can see that it's a form of lying to ourselves. We are telling ourselves, we're distorting to ourselves what it is that we are feeling. 当我们遵循禅修的时候呢，当我们看我们的心念的时候，我们可能会发现呢，我们有这一个习性哈，就是呢跟自己不让自己呢承认自己心里面其真正的感受。有的可能有一些菩萨有这个经验的说，心里面好生气，很生气，我就说跟这种我不生气，我没事了，我真的不生气。其实心里面真是生气的不得了很痛苦。这是其实呢也可以看说是一种对自己撒谎，就是不让自己清清楚楚的知道自己那个心里面的感受跟想法所以呢那个当我们去深入去看这个不撒谎，不只是讲给其他人，是我们有没有常常一直跟自己撒谎自己跟自己撒谎也是在破戒。那当我们当我们可以这样子用这个戒来帮助我们的禅修的时候，我们就可以更可以好好的面对我们自己的起心动念，让我们的禅修可以更深入。So if we can take this precept of not lying and expand the scope and also and deepen it into thinking that it also include our tendency to lie to ourselves in the form of denial or denying or suppressing or blocking ourselves from acknowledging and seeing how we actually are feeling and thinking in the present moment. Instead of, very often we tell ourselves how I am supposed to feel, how I'm supposed to think, and blocking our awareness of our mind, then we are allowing the precepts, or in this case of not lying, and to support our practice, to help us deepen our cultivation of clear awareness of our mind. And that is how another important way of upholding precepts in supporting our Chan practice. And you can see that as we engage in the practice, the scope of this practice, of this precept and the depth can expand and keep going deeper and deeper. And what it will slowly will notice is that It is not just particular action of not killing or not saying, not telling lies, but we will be able to see that what may be giving rise to a violent thought or giving rise to the thought of wanting to dominate someone with aggression, or the thought giving rise to a thought of perpetuating a stereotype, too, is a form of breaking the precepts. And it is in this way that we will be able to deepen our practice, at the same time upholding the precepts in purifying our body and mind. And in this way, we'll be able to refrain from causing harm to others and bring benefit to all sentient beings in the cultivation of compassion and wisdom. 那我们可以看到呢，当我们在一直修我们的禅修越来越深入的时候，我们就会把这些戒律呢会不断的放广，还有更深入。第二呢，我们发现呢，不只是持戒，不只是说不要杀生啊，不要讲撒谎啊，而是我们呢会在我们的起心动念都会的时候，这个动的念头我动的念头是想要伤害人的，或是这个动的念头呢是希望呢要即使一直在明明知道这个对这一群人呢的看法是不正确的，我们还是继续在这样子去想我们就会发现这个也是破戒，也是不应该继续在做的。这样子呢，我们呢用禅修就是可以帮助我们慢慢继续的去更深入的去持戒，来净化我们的身心，来培养我们的慈悲跟智慧。阿弥陀佛。